and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See their shit, force of air, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, gun, trees, lie to your faith, fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. It's time to rock the boat here for the next hour on UCY.TV. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. And I just want to start the show off with this. You know, for if there's anybody still out there that's listening that, you know, still got is suckered in by this global warming nonsense. If there are any people left out there that are still convinced that if we don't change our ways drastically, that in the next 100 years, the temperature could rise globally by 2 degrees Celsius and therefore implode the entire planet. Records on this date, October the 25th, the record low temperature, the record low, since they kept taking records, I guess, is minus 3.4 degrees centigrade for this date. And that record low was established in 2002. Geez, that sounds like right in the midst of the global warming scare. The record high, on the other hand, was nowhere near the year of the record low. The record high was 21.1 degrees Celsius. And that was way back in 1932. So, you know, trust science. You might as well go trust a con man somewhere. Because if you really take a hard, close look at science, most of it has been used to manipulate and to get people to believe things that are absolutely not true. And if you trust scientists, just jump on into your next bowl of GMO food or your fluoridated water or your vaccinations, if you trust science, of which I don't, because science was set up to be the new priest to bring the ecology movement forward back in the mid-19th century, in the time of Darwinism. So anyways, it was nice and warm in 1932 and it was damn cold in 2002. Now, get the weather out of my way. I have spent no time whatsoever really looking at the American election. They're all farcical. They're all ludicrous. In fact, the people still involve themselves in it boggles the mind. I mean, once you know that your elected officials take an oath to the state, which is a fictional entity, you know that those politicians cannot, do not represent you. It's an impossibility. No one can be beholden to two masters. And if the state is the master, well, then guess what? You're not. That might explain some of the stuff that's going out with the native people trying to back off that pipeline. I'm sure lots of people are wondering why they got all these heavily armed police out there irritating these peaceful people. Well, because the police took an oath to the state, and the state is a corporation, and the pipeline is a corporation. And therefore, move aside people. But you're supposed to guard our safety. No, they guard the safety of the state. Period. But anyways, I watched that dinner for, I forget what the guy's name was, whatever his name was, in honor of the first Catholic presidential nominee back in 28, I think it was. And that was the most bizarre bit of theater I've seen in a very long time. I think that's about as bizarre a thing as I've seen since the opening of the tunnel in Switzerland. Now that was satanic crap, that was, and that was over the top bizarre. But looking at these people that were in camera view during that dinner with Clinton and Trump, that was right up there. It was bizarre. I hope the voting public watched it. I hope they understood what they were watching. Now, I've said since the get-go that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president because they got too much invested in her. But after Trump speaking at the dinner with his final words, he was a strong nation, but more importantly, one world, or whatever it was he said, but it was basically, I'm your boy. And that's what that was about, that dinner. You've got the hierarchy, the media, everybody in there assessing the situation. Now, I saw, which I haven't really run across, I don't look for news reports on the election process in the States, but everything I'd seen to date was anti-Trump. And now it seems today I was rooting around a little bit, not particularly looking for that, but I was starting to run across stories from some major news sources that were kind of rethinking the Trump situation. Now, all the major media, all the Bilderberger media were at that dinner. And I'm wondering now if, because, I mean, your overlords, they always assess these situations. They don't really give a damn who wins as long as they control who wins. I do believe Trump, I mean, Clinton's were at his wedding. And I do believe that Trump may have just said what they wanted to hear from him during that dinner, at the very end of that dinner. If people weren't listening, I don't got the exact quote here right in front of me, but basically he agreed on a one world situation, an international world situation. So he's telling the boys, I'm your guy, lose Hillary. And I'm wondering, this is just my thoughts, that if, because the Heartland America, if you want to call it that, are getting a little uppity with what's going on. They're getting a little testy. You know, we had the stand down with the farmers and that, and the feds had to back out of there. And a few other things have been going on. And, an awful lot of the so-called working man stateside are getting a little bit to the point where I'm wondering if the overlords are just wondering if we push this too far, too fast. And are the American people going to rise up? They should have a long time ago, but they haven't yet. But will they rise up if we put Clinton in here? Will we get a real hard pushback? Or do we put Donald in and kind of do a bit of pacifying for the time being? And then once we pacify the people and we get them settled down a little bit where they're happy that Donald's in, then we can continue to make our moves in the background and move this slowly forward. Either way, this is going to get damned interesting before it's over. And so now, you know, I haven't spent, like I said, any time watching this election or anything else. Don't need to. It's a waste of time. It's a bunch of noise, a bunch of rhetoric. It's all baloney. But after I watched that dinner, and what I heard Trump say at the end, I'm starting to think that Trump might just become the President of the United States. And remember, President of the United States is the CEO of a corporation. Period. So whoever wins as the CEO of the corporation known as the United States of America, not America, not the president of America, the president of the corporation. Okay, the CEO of a corporation, not the president of a nation. And I still think way too few people get that. And if they could just wrap their mind around that one simple little thing, I think we could make some changes, both in America and in Canada, and get moving in the right direction here, which is reclaiming our rightful place in our own nations. So, I mean, after 8 years of Obama, I don't know if the overlords think that it may be just that wise to throw another Democrat in there right away. Both right, left are the same. Two wings on the same bird, two boots on, you know, the same body. So they may just try to pacify this. I was just thrown a little bit by some of the more positive comments I saw in some of the media. In fact, I even think I saw one today, something about the media rethinking Trump. Wait a minute, you've been bastardizing this guy since the get-go. Now all of a sudden you're rethinking this guy. So could be a Trump win. Doesn't matter. You're going to lose anyways unless you get your act together. Having Trump in there, if he does get in, will be just to pacify the people. That would be the only purpose of Mr. Trump being in there. And then to slowly move ahead with the program, and we just kind of slow it down a little bit. Now, where did I see these little stories here? If somebody's got something they want to talk about tonight, just you can call in, or you can throw something in the chat. What is it I'm looking for here? That's that one. Where's the other one? Where is the other one? I was out. You gotta excuse me. I was out for a bit. And, This is a Canadian story, okay? Let's do a Canadian story for the time being. This is a very important story. I haven't read it yet, but the headline's a kicker. This is out of Saskatchewan. Out of Saskatchewan, I believe it's Saskatchewan. Yes, Wolseley, Saskatchewan. And the headline is, The beaver beaten to death by chair in Saskatchewan. This is major Canadian news. Some people in the small Saskatchewan community say they are disgusted and disappointed after beaver was beaten to death with a chair. Residents say surveillance video from a bakery in Wolseley showed four men leaving a bar on Friday and going after the rodent. Resident Jocelyn Linnell says the beaver had been hanging out around the village for about a year. Linnell says the animal appears to have hissed at the men before it was killed. She says it's sad to think that there are people in Wolseley who would do that sort of thing. RCMP say they are looking into a report that came in Saturday morning, but there's no no active investigation. There's no word on whether a dead or injured beaver was found. Animal Protection Services says anyone found guilty of inhumanely killing an animal faces a maximum penalty of 18 months in jail and or a fine of $25,000. Very ashamed. This is a good town with good people in it, and said another resident, Candace Mallow. Doing that to an animal is disgusting. Linnell said the beaver was considered to be a friendly guy. We have beavers in town because we have a lake and a dam, she said. They are here naturally. The Association for the Protection of Fur-Bearing Animals has written a letter to the Saskatchewan Premier, Brad Wall, asking him to come out strongly against what happened. Although your government would never condone such actions, we fear that attitudes leading towards such behavior are endorsed by policy, the letter said. Promotion of ongoing beaver culls and a lack of humane education or compassionate planning options have even if subconsciously to the public, encouraged the idea that beavers are disposable pests or commodities. The national organization says it will offer a reward to anyone who can help identify the culprits and is willing to work with the province to develop educational material about beavers. Linnell said the community is divided over the beaver's death, but she felt strongly about speaking out. I think you have to be pretty hardened not to feel this was unjustly done. Wolseley is about 100 kilometers east of Regina. Yeah, that's a Canadian story. I think Brad Wall, if I'm not mistaken, went to the Bilderberg meeting at one point, I think. And so these people, we have premiers that all elected officials are involved in the UN globalist corporate takedown of our nations. But these people in Wolseley, they're not too concerned about any of that stuff. They're more concerned about a beaver. I don't know. There's no indication. It says it was killed, but we don't seem to have a body. So I don't know if it was killed or not. But, you know, if it depends. Did the beaver attack? It said it was hissing. Now, I did have a long time ago when I was about 15, that's a very long time ago, I was walking across a golf course in the winter over to my buddy's place, and I was attacked by a muskrat. And I don't really want to hurt any animals, but this dumbass muskrat come at me, so I just hooked my boot under him and give him a toss. Didn't kick him, I just kind of sent him for a ride. And flipped him off my boot, and he hit the snow and got up on his hind legs and come ripping at me some more. So I tried to do it again, and eventually I ended up killing the damn thing as it wouldn't back off. So I don't know, the beaver, maybe the beaver was drunk, maybe it was intoxicated, who the hell knows. But this is a hell of a big story, considering that the premier, I can't be sure he's a Bilderberger, I thought he was a Bilderberger, I'll have to check it out. But the fact that these people in this town are that concerned over a beaver, I don't see any stories about the people rising up to beat back the globalists. Maybe the beaver had a little UN flag attached to his tail. Maybe that's what set the situation off. Maybe the guys that came out of the bar were talking about all the bullshit that's going on and how they're taking our nation down. And could be, because the UN's stamping their flag on everything. Maybe the beaver had a UN flag on his tail and these people saw it and just lost it. Took it out on the beaver instead of the Rockefellers and the Soroses and the Brzezinskis and the Bushes and the Clintons and the Trudeaus and the so on and so forth. So maybe that's what happened. But it's a little wee town, and it made a major news story. Remember, man is the enemy. Man is the enemy, not the animals. Man. See, once again, man hurt an animal, therefore it's a story. Man is the enemy, and that's unfortunate. Kind of an oddball story, but that's a story for a Tuesday. Now, I don't know who this guy is. Heitman's Governor General's Award. What do you got to do to win a Governor General's Award? He's a dog. The Kingston writer has won the Governor General's Award, Literary Award, for the Waking Comes Late. What is this about? Doesn't really say. Don't know, don't care. Court hears final arguments in sex trial. Let's see. Health Minister Eric Hoskins was slammed in the legislature Tuesday for not doing enough to ensure the safety of residents of long-term care facilities. Really? And so that would be, let's see, the Conservatives and the NDP bitching about the people dying in the long-term health facilities, not remembering that when they were in power, the other parties, that the people were dying in the long-term facilities. It is a death case in there. Now, this is an interesting story here. And this is just two stories. Well, we had the beaver story, and above the beaver story, we have Shoppers Drug Mart wants to sell medical pot. Shoppers Drug Mart has submitted an application to be a distributor of medical marijuana. Hell, we're a drugstore. I mean, this is ludicrous. Millions, I'm going to say millions. I'm sure it's millions of people. At least not millions, hundreds of thousands of people have spent how many days, years, and months in jails for having a joint or two or an ounce of weed or something, and now they're all lining up. The corporations are all lining up to sell what everybody was thrown in jail for. I find it absolutely ludicrous. Now, here's a story that I find totally ludicrous. Let's see if this is written the same way. This is not the same story I read earlier, but it's close enough. Now, this story, we had the story about the legislature ticked off about these long-term health care centers where people are dying from over-medication, non-care, and so on and so forth. But this is the same country that has assisted suicide, and you can actually book it ahead. So, you know, we're back into the death culture. And amazingly, genocide didn't go off the books in Alberta until 1974. Or not genocide, but eugenics didn't go off the books in Alberta until 1974. Up till 1974, they were still sterilizing people who they thought weren't fit to have children or whatever. They were still sterilizing an awful lot of Native women. And so then they turned it from eugenics into Planned Parenthood. And from Planned Parenthood, we've gone to planned suicide. So here's a woman who has been charged with deaths of 8 nursing home residents. Now, the story isn't so much about... this story's got a little more information in it than the other one. But... oh, let me read the story real quick here. A Woodstock woman has been charged in the deaths of at least 8 elderly residents in one of the biggest multiple death investigations in the region since the Bandido murders, which was a bike gang wiped each other out or whatever. Elizabeth Tracy May Welloffer, 49, a former nurse of both Crescent Care in Woodstock and Meadow Park in London, was charged on October 25th with first-degree murder of 8 residents aged 75 to 96 years old, 7 who lived at Crescent Care and 1 at Meadow Park. The Crescent Care victims included, yada, 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 84-year-old, 84-year-old, 87-year-old, 95-year-old, 96-year-old, 90-year-old, and a 79-year-old. The sole London victim was 75, Lynn Meadow Park in London, and died August 31st, 2014. Now, the victims were administered a drug, but I'm not in a position at this time to comment on the specifics of the drug, said London Police Services Department Sergeant Super William, whatever his last name is. Horvath's daughter, Susan, said she felt something was amiss before her father died. I'd seen my dad and the condition he was in, and he had a lot of fear. And just things about him and everything I noticed on his body and stuff, I just had a feeling. And I told Mom, told Radio Station London on Tuesday. And then when he passed on, and how he passed on, that's when I knew this is not right. Let's see, yada, yada, yada. Where are we going to go with this? This is not exactly the story. Okay, there's more information in here. So people are dying. Then your mind starts going thinking, is there a body in there? And then you think, how did this go on for so long? But to look at her and know her a bit, you would never think she could do something like this, Puffer said. Walfer made a brief appearance Tuesday morning at the Oxford County Courthouse in Woodstock. Her next appearance was scheduled for November the 2nd. The investigation began September 29th, when Woodstock Police Services received information from an undisclosed source that 8 people had been murdered over a period of several years. On behalf of every police agency represented here, our deepest sympathies go out to the families who have suffered this tragic loss, said Police Chief Bill Renton. Due to the nature of the allegations, police said multiple jurisdiction case manager Hagman was assigned to coordinate the investigation, while Brent OPP and Oxford OPP provided resources. Our goal throughout this was to follow the evidence, which resulted in the criminal charges here today. The Woodstock location of Crescent has issued a statement this morning saying the 167-bed long-term care facility was cooperating with the police investigation. Yada, yada, yada. Kathleen Wynne, who is the Premier of Ontario, called the 8 nursing home deaths extremely depressing. This is the same Premier that's leaving people in their homes with no heat at minus 20 degrees, people who can't afford their extraordinarily high hydro bills, of which she had a big hand in driving up, but it's been going on a long time. She's just the latest one at the helm. So this distresses her. The assisted suicide doesn't distress her. the fact that a lot of these lawn care, I brought up a story there last week or something where a lady came to see her dad and he had a 4x9 inch open sore, open ulcer on his butt. And he died shortly thereafter. You can't get that kind of problem without no care. Now, I don't know what triggered this exact investigation after so many years, but I don't know. Again, it looks to me like they're trying to hammer somebody here. If you've been around a long-term care facility, they're basically turning into death wards now. So, you know, they have the assisted suicide. They've got people not being looked after properly in the home care. So for all I know, and I don't know, but it is possible that that these people wanted to get out, and possibly this lady just helped them out with their problem. Now, the first story I read about this today was a complete slam on the lady. It didn't really have anything to do, if I can find that, it really didn't have anything to do with the story. Or if I can dig that. Man, it sucks these things change so fast. Okay, I'm ticked off. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, here we go. This is in the Toronto Star. I saw this morning. Elizabeth Tracy May Wetlaufer, 49, who has been charged with 8 counts of first-degree murder and arrested, also mentions pets and recipes in her Facebook posts. Ontario nursing home murder suspect talked God and sobriety on social media posts. Now, this has nothing whatsoever to do with the victims, like the other story I was looking at. This is just a shot at this lady who mentions God. And this is the problem. You see, people who believe in God are the problem. People who believe in a creator are the problem. And that's basic. I mean, if I was this woman, whether I kill these people or they asked it to be assisted suicide, who knows? But I would be suing this newspaper for libel. Lickety split. So this lady gets charged. So the Toronto Star runs over to, doesn't go to the police investigate. They run over to her Facebook and bastardize her. There are plenty of mentions of God, multiple photos of cats, a few dogs, and lots of recipes. This was about a murder. 8 murders. Then there's the passage where the multiple murder suspect describes what appears to be her battle with alcoholism. So now she's a drunken Christian. My own voice called me in the darkness, Weffler 49 wrote on September 28th, 2015. Other hands lifted me when I chose the light. 1 year ago today, I woke up not dead. Been clean 365 days and sober. There are also a few mentions of loneliness. She was divorced about 8 years ago, according to a former neighbor. Ex-husband Dan, a truck driver, still lives in the little white bungalow they once shared. But when he opened the back door of his home, Dan said he would not be talking, asked if he knew any details. He replied, "I don't know myself and I won't be speaking to you. Go away, piss off." Her former next-door neighbor, who was very chatty, is a 92-year-old woman described Wetlaufer as a friendly person. She said she was shocked by the news of her arrest. Oh, for Christ's sakes. I can't believe it, she said. As far as I know, she was okay. I had no problems with her. She said she knew Wetlifer and her husband as good Baptists. Okay, so we got Baptists who used to drink a lot, who kill people. Okay. I saw the news, and I was just flabbergasted, the elderly former neighbor said. I never thought such a thing. Never. There's also a photo of a woman wading in water with saying, "Don't be afraid of growing older. You'll still do stupid things, only slower." This is an actual report in a major newspaper in Canada. Wetlifer is in custody facing 8 counts first-degree murder. The victims were patients at the 2 long-term homes, police say. Police say it won't say if she's been sent for a psychological assessment. Records from the College of Nurses show she's first registered nurse in 1995. Yada, 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 yada. On LinkedIn, she described herself as a registered nurse with a specialty in wellness and fitness. Bum, 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 bum. Let's see, on Facebook, she portrays herself as someone with a strong and loving family. On June 16, she posted a photo of her with a man she said is her father, and the message, "Father Day is a great reminder of how blessed I am to still have my dad alive and be able to spend time with me." There's also a picture of her smiling in a field, looking about 13 years old. "Picking potatoes," the entry says, "my boots match my jacket." There are also hints of loneliness, like in a post from last Valentine's Day. It shows a cat in front of a plate of food and the words, "me on Valentine's Day." And there's a post of her career heading in a new direction on November 13th, 2015 that reads, "me, a pediatric shift nurse, who would have predicted that?" And this is what they're doing, okay? Now, the Beaver story, just to jump back to the Beaver story for a minute, right? And talking about the government's talking about it, the people are talking about it, and that is a death of an animal where it suffers. And at the same time, we're showing halal food in the stores, or halal food, whatever that Islamic food is. And apparently when they kill an animal in that fashion, which I didn't know until I looked it up, is also the same way kosher meat is killed. This idea that, this is harming animals, but apparently, because it's religious, these animals can be made to suffer, but only if you're of those two religions. It's really bad, man. They take a shot. Wherever they can get a story to take a swipe at something, they take it and they put it front center. All the nefarious crap the government's up to, and all the nefarious stuff that all these groups that they are promoting are up to, never gets you never see a story about it, really. So it's oh, this is nice. The cemeteries are going green now. Green space gives new life to cemeteries. More and more living visitors come in search of some much-needed greenery. A pair of cyclists, mother and young son, glide under the grand brick archway, past a dog walker, past a gaggle of teenage girls, past 140 years worth of graves, family crypts, and mausoleums. Mount Pleasant Cemetery on Saturday afternoon is alive and bustling with walkers, joggers, bikers, and strolling. The sprawling property, which covers more than 800 square meters from Young Street to Bayview Avenue, just south of Davisville, does attract its share of mourners. But more and more visitors come in search of some much-needed greenery in Midtown Toronto. It feels like a little hub of escapism, said Rachel Cook, who discovered the cemetery just a few months ago and now stops by for a walk at least once a week. Once you enter, the trees surround you and you leave the outside world behind, and it gives you time to deflate, Cook said. I think there's something different from spending time walking through there than a regular park. It gives you a lot of perspective and appreciation for life. Cosney, interim director at Ryerson University School of Urban and Regional Planning, said cemeteries have become part of the public realm after years of being sealed off private places. The space has always been there, says Cosney, who runs through Mount Pleasant. Well, what's changing is the sense of ownership of cemeteries. We in cities are more diverse, which, by the way, diverse is evil. Our plan, our beliefs, and our faiths about living and dying are different, and I think we have a different sense of what that space is and how we use it. Michael Black, member of the pedestrian advocacy group Walk Toronto, has lived a couple of blocks away from the cemetery for around 30 years. He walks and bikes through the cemetery all year round, settling in to read a book or snap photos of tree blossoms in good weather. There's such a shortage of green space in the area that it serves sort of as an unofficial park, he said. York Cemetery serves the same purpose in the condo heavy corridor near Yonge and Shepherd Street. Well, isn't that nice? Who the hell? I don't even know why people are in the cities. Employment, I guess. I would advise people, get the hell out of the city, because they're just going to keep, the whole idea of the city is more and more and more and more and more high density housing. And it's so phony. The city, last time I was in Toronto, I said, you know, I don't ever have to come back to this place, I hope. It's a hellhole. Now, people put Toronto up as one of the top urban centers on the planet. Now, I've been through Cleveland. Was it Cleveland I was through? Yeah, I think so. Now, that's a mess. That's a hell of a mess. But then they shut down all industry and all that kind of stuff, which drives it into poverty. And that's a mess. But no, I don't know why anybody would live in a city. You know, we went down to Toronto one time to build a house, and we were there a couple, 3 days, and then I bailed out of there. I just said, we're out of here. You know, we'd pull out on the road. We're only going a few blocks and take it forever to get there. And I'm looking in the vehicles beside me. There's a guy having some toast for breakfast. There's a woman putting on her makeup trying to get to work. You can do whatever you want because the traffic ain't moving. So I suppose you could have a nap if you wanted to. And I thought, people do this shit every day. This is what they do. This is how they live. And now the graveyard is their green space. Good luck with that. But this is the planners. I mean, everybody, they go in here, right? And they paint these stupid pictures. They have a link here, Toronto cemeteries, our other green spaces. This map highlights the city's cemeteries alongside parklands, natural land, and golf courses. Wherever you live in Toronto, apparently, if you pull up this story, or you could probably Google it, and just put in Toronto cemeteries, our other green spaces, and you can get a map, so you don't have to go to the same cemetery all the time. Says here, the area is in need of green space, and the provision of public parkland hasn't kept up, said Black. Mount Pleasant Group, which operates 10 cemeteries in the GTA, welcomes recreational visitors and with open arms. Now, so you got Mount Pleasant Group, which is a corporation, operates 10 cemeteries. This is what really boggles the mind. The bodies of the men and women and children are buried at the cemeteries. Okay, but your entire life is lived as an agent for a corporate entity. And when you die, it's the corporate entity they're really bearing. It's like when they throw you in jail, they have nothing to do with living anything. Okay? They just need the living thing to carry around the dead thing that they created. So when you die, it's this corporate entity that died. Okay? And they just got to get rid of the body that's been toting it around all these years. Is all that's going on. That's why you get buried in a corporate cemetery. Okay? You're born into the corporation and you leave the corporation, but the entire time you're here, you're an agent for a corporate entity that you know nothing about, or most people don't know anything about. On its webpage, Friends and Neighbors of Mount Pleasant, the company map has maps of walking and jogging routes that visitors can download with an extensive template for self-guided tours of the cemetery. Rollerblading is prohibited in the cemetery, but cyclists are permitted because, well, we want everybody on a bicycle because we want no one to own a private vehicle. So we promote bicycles, and bicycle racks have been added over the past few years. Sean Marshall, another member of Walk Toronto, lives about 20 minutes walk from one of the city's oldest cemetery, the Toronto Necropolis in Cabbage Town. Now, Necro is dead, and Polis, so it's dead city, I guess, in Cabbage Town. It's more private, it's quieter, it's a place that you can just explore, Marshall said, of necropolises. Necropolis. And here we have a nice map of the Mount Pleasant Cemetery, a sprawling green space. How do some Toronto's most notable parks compare to the size of Mount Pleasant? This is ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. This kills me. It's such a nice place to stroll, to walk without any particular purpose and just to enjoy the nature and the heritage of that property. One of the big advantages of Mount Pleasant, said Marshall, is it's linked to the Kay Gardner Beltline, a trail that follows an old rail path from the cemetery all the way to Allen Road, north of Eglinton Avenue. This makes it not only a recreation space, but part of a transportation corridor for people trying to bike across the city. And unlike so many spaces in Toronto, historic or not, cemeteries are relatively safe, not safe, relatively safe, from developers and bulldozers for the time being. Okay, because they've locked every single urban center down. My town's 7,500 people. We have a fence around it. People don't see the fence. It's an invisible fence. It's called a border development zone or development border zone, as does every urban center in this country. And so the cemetery is relatively safe from developers and bulldozers. Depends how many more migrants they bring in, depends how much more housing they need, and depends unless they want to put a tower up there or not. And they will, eventually. Interestingly, the amount of space that is sacrosanct seems to be shrinking. We seem to have less of a hold on some of those spaces that are the fabric of the city. I like the fact that the cemetery feels secured and enshrined. So, hey, fam, you want to go for a picnic in Toronto? Where do we go? Where's the park? A park? Who the hell needs a park? We're going down to the cemetery. And you know, you have some of these tombs that are above ground, eh? That make a nice picnic table. You know, you put your salads and your food up on there and bring yourself some folding lawn chairs, and there you go. you got yourself a nice picnic table at the cemetery. And you can gaze at the leaves and the trees, and maybe a squirrel will jump from one tree to another, and it'll be the most pleasant place you've ever been. With the dead. Welcome to Toronto. Welcome to Canada. Welcome to Bizarro World. This is what's going on in my neck of the woods. Yeah, so there's a really nice, let's see. Yeah, so, you can go hang out at the cemetery, I guess, if you want. It's such a death culture that we're living in these days, you know. It used to be about life. Now it's all about death. It is all about death. And I'd like to see it come back to being about life. But the only way we're going to get back to something that resembles life is to rock that boat and flip it over. And get back to law. And get rid of these fictional entities. And get back to living our lives as men and women who are not agents of anything, period. That we are responsible for what we do. That we're not surety for this entity. Province Warren City, because the province of Ontario loves the people. The province gives out a big warning. Province Warren City, Province Warren cities against removing fluoride from water. Mississauga MPP Bob Delaney is behind the symbolic vote and says he'll push for changes to the legislation to force municipalities. See, color and force of law. Never forget the force. Force municipalities to keep the water treatment used to prevent tooth decay. Now, I've heard a lot of people bitching about fluoride, that it's used to subdue people, to keep them passive, you know, and I know that's just a great, big, crazy conspiracy theory. That's why they used it in Russia and Germany and that, in order they were concerned about the health of the people's teeth. It wasn't about subduing people, it was they cared about their teeth. So, you know, this is science again, isn't it? Science says, right? Because the corporation said, told the scientists, you say this, we got to get rid of this shit. It costs too much. So we'll dump it in the water. What the hell? And tell them it's good for their teeth. So the province has put municipalities on notice that it doesn't support any move to remove fluoride from tap water. While a resolution recently passed in legislature with the support of all parties is not binding, it doesn't mean the vote has no teeth. See? Teeth. It's all about teeth. I wanted this to be a much sharper resolution to send, send even my own minister a very clear message that it is the will of the house. It is the will of the house. See, we live in their house. We're children in their house. As long as you live in their house, they set the house rules. Kind of like a jail. Not once, but twice, to move ahead with legislation that makes it mandatory. And that was, in fact, the opinion of the house. MPP Bob Delaney said, Peel Region, which encompasses his Mississauga, Steele Street, Streetsville riding, is now studying the issue with some councillors pushing to eliminate fluoride. Delaney said it has been an issue in Peel for a few years, and it explodes from time to time with people bringing junk science before local governments. That's right, folks, junk science. And not that science isn't junk to start with, but anything that uses brain's gone soft tonight, and it uses what do you call those languages, like legalese, scientific language, all those languages are used to deceive and to gain an upper hand. And that's what real science is. Junk science. You know, global warming deniers, they're looking at junk science. The people denouncing vaccines are looking at junk science. The anti-fluoride people are looking at junk science. The anti-GMO people are looking at junk science. And God forbid those aren't chemtrails or contrails up there. Quit talking about this shit. This is what's going on. The evidence in support of fluoridation is clear, comprehensive, and conclusive, he said. The evidence in support of GMOs is clear, comprehensive, and conclusive, he said. The evidence in support of GMOs is clear. The evidence in support of vaccinations is clear, comprehensive, and conclusive, he said. The evidence in support of sending your children to a public school and having lied to in their entire lives is clear, comprehensive, and conclusive, he said. This is the same shit over and over and over again. It's always templates. They pull the template off the shelf. You always see the same language. And anybody that would question any of their junk science, and I'm talking about the government's junk science, not the researchers' junk science, is a denier and therefore a problem. And that is putting people in a position where they're afraid to say what's on their freaking minds. They're afraid to speak out because they don't want to get in trouble. They won't want them to look, to have their neighbors look at them funny. Propaganda is a very powerful tool that they use to subdue the people. And that's why I say we're in a spiritual, psychological war, and that war is World War III, and it has been underway for decades. And people got to wake up to that fact, and we got to push back. We got to hold these people's feet to the fire. Now, we should be suing every single newspaper in North America. We should be. And we're going to look into that. I have a guest coming on Sunday who was dragged before the human rights, and he actually now has the human rights in, I think it's Saskatchewan, going after a newspaper for denying him something he wanted to put in the newspaper. So I'm looking forward to that on Sunday, because I think we might just be able to go after these damn newspapers, because they're a huge, huge, I mean the media in general, they are a huge problem. Putting down the people, keeping people subdued, keeping people afraid. And I think we need to take them and either take them to court, take them to human rights, which is a joke in itself, but we're going to have to use their tools against them to break this book. We're out of time. That's an hour. Back Thursday night. Remember, keep doing your research.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back. It's only for their mom. They shoot, they kill.